Chapter 2. I could have broken into a run with Brett Hollis, but that would have been counterproductive. Hollis was trying to keep the suspect in sight. I was sure he'd give this guy a good run for his money. But veteran cops don't engage in foot chases. Experience is supposed to teach you something. It taught me to either find a car or use my head. I knew this neighborhood, every block of it. Traffic had picked up on Amsterdam Avenue, and no one runs toward a busy street. This guy had a plan. I figured he'd take the alley a block down and move away from any pedestrian traffic. If I were him, I'd head towards St. Nicholas Park. It wasn't that far away. I broke into a light jog. We needed this guy, make no mistake. Van Fleet was the first lead we'd had in Chloe Tumber's homicide, which, despite the different blades used, looked to be connected to those two other cases. All three victims were young women who'd suffered gruesome injuries moments before their deaths, and the three crime scenes looked similar. Messy. Though I couldn't shake the feeling that the mess was deliberate, almost designed for effect. We were still developing a theory as to why. I found the garbage alley I was looking for between two buildings, with its gates, as usual, left wide open. Then I saw an abandoned dog leash. A long one. Maybe 12 feet, and already hooked to a pole behind a pizza place. I took the leash in my hand and stepped to the other side of the alley. 10 seconds later, as if on cue, Van Fleet slid around the corner, ducked a drainage pipe that stuck out into the alley, and picked up the pace again. He never even saw me. As he neared the dog leash, I jerked the line. His feet tangled and he tumbled down into the alley's nasty asphalt, slipping in some pizza grease congealed in the middle of the alley and knocking over an empty 40-ounce beer bottle like it was the last bowling pin in the lane. Before I could even reach Van Fleet, Hollis barreled around the corner. He didn't notice the drainage pipe and ran full speed into it, head first. The impact made the pipe reverberate like a gong and knocked him completely off his feet. I could only imagine what the collision sounded like inside his brain. I cuffed the suspect and looked over at Hollis. His nose was flattened, blood spraying from it like a busted sprinkler attached to his face. "You okay, Brett?" he mumbled. "I'm good," as he struggled to his feet. Blood poured onto his clean white shirt and made dark stains on his power tie. With Van Fleet's hands cuffed behind his back, I helped him up and started to lead him back to the coffee house. I didn't want to embarrass Hollis, so I walked slowly as he tried to keep up. Hollis's wound was so spectacular, a corner bodega owner abandoned the outdoor displays she was stocking and rushed inside for a handful of crumpled paper towels. She forced them on Hollis, who held them to his nose. Hollis wasn't complaining. I had to admit, I liked his toughness.